I don't care who's first or who last, but I know that y'all just better rock this at the drop of a dime, baby. I don't know what y'all gonna do with this, but it got to be funky.
What?
Got to be funky if you're gonna be on it.
You guys are laughing at me. What's up?
What's up?
You know it.
It's gotta be funky.
Let's let this play.
I like that.
Cheer.
Listen closely, so your attention's undivided. Many in the past have tried to do what I did. Just the way I came off then, I'm gonna come off stronger and longer, even with the drum off.
I just wanna let that keep playing.
Yeah. Juice Crew.
You gotta show respect. New trails are blazing. Action is in effect.
Yeah.
I was fishing for something like Big Daddy Kane for you people to listen to.
There you go.
It's your boy Malcolm Riddle. Another show of American Riddle. On to the next. I got Miriam Tazi in the house.
Hello.
I got Rick Marrero in the house.
What's up?
That's what's up. You guys didn't even think this was, I was going to pull this off, didn't you?
Not really.
Huh? You got to understand something, people. Behind the scenes, it's going on. You know what I mean? This ain't Arsenio. We got canceled. But, you know.
It was a little rough today.
Like I said it once, and I'll say it again. It ain't the Tonight Show, so everything doesn't always run smooth. But you guys don't know that because you're not witnessing what's going on behind the motherfucking scenes like Rick Marrero just witnessed.
He's just shaking his head.
I was a witness.
Hey, man, you know what I mean? I was tripping, but I'm back. Listen to this. Craig G. Yeah. Unoptimistic. That thought I wasn't coming out with some exquisite rhymes. But that's alright, because now I'm back to kill all the rumors and straighten the facts of me. Now rocking rhymes like I'm just looking at the equipment, people. I'm a little worried. I'm no audio tech. What do you guys want from me? Huh?
Duct tape and glue.
You know, the wire doesn't want to stay in. It keeps popping out. I got all sorts of audio problems, people. I'm looking for somebody to be an audio engineer. Need it.
Yeah, I think it's
a lot of stress putting together a show, you know, for you guys to listen to on this 4th of July. You know what I mean? 4th of July weekend. Everybody's out lighting firecrackers, burning their toes and fingers because they got flip-flops on. You know what I mean? No, you should be wearing some boots today. If any day you're going to wear boots, today's the day.
Yeah, listen, the day after the 4th of July, you always waited to see who lost a finger the day before. I'm not kidding. I mean, you really waited to see. And I had a few friends who blew off a couple fingers.
You're like, you got all your fingers in your toes.
Yeah, that's the day after the 4th of July was a big day in the neighborhood.
Huh.
You blow some stuff up.
You
know what I mean?
You pack
a hole in the tree. You blow that up. You get the smoke bombs. You gotta do it.
Yeah, I didn't really do that.
You know what I mean?
I heard it.
You mess around.
I heard somebody like doing something last night. I'm like, it's a little too soon.
They started last week. They started doing stuff. It's like Christmas.
Yeah. And then if you get one, it's a dud. You know what I mean? It's got a little wick on it. You're scared to light it. Do some kerosene on it. See if that
that's
works.
Good.
You know, do the trail. We would light everything. Anything you could make. Anything you could think of. Just blow it up.
Fun times.
Yeah. My son, he was out there like pre-4th of July lighting stuff up. You know what I mean? With damn flip-flops on. They're not even flip-flops. It's a sandal. What are the flip flops? It's like a
Birkenstocks.
Yeah, it's just like a. It's a flip flop, but it doesn't go in between your toes.
Like the Adidas
slides
ones.
In.
Like the
yeah. yeah. And they call them slides.
Slides.
They call them slides.
And they wear socks with them.
Yep.
Ugh.
Slides.
So yeah. You wear the. Oh, hold on. We might
blow fuse. Cool G rap. Madness ready to hang up. Rapper a finger. Cool G rap. Putting up my middle finger.
Next up, I believe that's.
Big Daddy can't get on a mic for the sense of me. Setting it off, letting it off, beginning.
That's where it's at.
Lord, like a bottle of juice. Rhymes are being
poured down the air, crisp and clear as I. They don't do this anymore either. Like five or six guys on the same track. They don't do it anymore.
No, there's no more like collaborating like
that.
Yeah,
that was a big deal too. When you got five or six guys on the same one.
Ooh-wee. Man, he's ripping it. He's killing it.
Big Daddy Kane.
You mean he didn't have to drop the mic when he was done? I mean, you just don't. Cool G Rap and then Big Daddy Kane. How does that happen? Huh?
History.
You know what I mean? That's
history.
The real deal.
Yeah. And then I think they did it again. They had two of these. Symphony Part 2.
Yeah, that's he's just ripping it.
Side
so,
B.
Oh, man. What's going on here? I got this on. This dude's running.
I got all sorts of stuff going on, people. But yeah, that's what's up. Ripping the mic. Speaking of ripping the mic today, we have a special guest joining us in a few, like a really quick few. We got Jill Bresnahan joining from the Smalls family.
Stepmama Smalls.
Yeah, she plays Stepmama Smalls. And the show is a take on the late great Big Daddy Kane. I'm sorry, the late great. I know you guys just looked at me like, what the hell? I got Big Daddy Kane on my mind. Hey, man, what are you supposed to do? Cut, you know what I mean?
I'm
going to keep going.
I'm not going down with the show.
Anyway.
I'll drop the
Hello?
Mic.
Hey.
We got the call in, so we were leading into it, but I was fumbling, getting my words together. Jill Bresnahan, did I pronounce your name right?
You got it.
All right. That's what's up. So this is
I go by Jill Brez a lot just to simplify the situation.
Got you. Yeah, we saw it on the website. It was broken down, so to speak. The Smalls family. So you play Stepmama Smalls on the Smalls family, and that's what led me here. I did an interview with David Catalano more than a few weeks ago, and we were just going into hip hop. We were going into the birth of the evolution, I guess, that led to the Smalls family. And why don't you tell us a little bit about about your relationship with David, and how do you guys collaborate?
I actually met Dave on the film set of Wanted. He was an assistant director, and I was a production assistant. And to be honest with you, I got further in my acting career being a production assistant than I ever did try to be an actress. And Dave and I just hit it off, and we actually started dating for about 2 years. And then, it's hard to date somebody when you're both the creative type. You bump heads a little bit. That didn't work out, but we stayed friends. And, in the time that we lived together, we used to throw ideas around all the time, and it was always something related to, his love of hip-hop. And, I listened to hip-hop when I was younger, in the 90s, and... moved into classic rock, but then when I started dating him, he brought it all back to me, and we just started joking around a lot, like doing hip operas, taking like, I'm the biggest boss that you've seen before, taking stuff and just changing, or translating it into some other form. And then, he ended up geniusly just, spouting off the lyrics to... I think it was Warning, and like you said, just cleaning up, saying the words like he was some dad, and a series was born. And I think with all the times that we spent together moving around, he was like, I think I need Joe in this, and the rest is history.
Yeah, and I'm sitting here with my co-host Mariam Tazi. And I have Rick Marrero, a frequent guest. I think he's edging his...
Hey, Rick. Hey, Mary.
Hello.
How you doing?
And you may not be able to hear them clearly because I had some audio problems leading in, which I was having a bit of a fit behind the scenes. But we got the show up, and it's running. So, so thanks. And again, thank you for joining us and calling in. I know you said you were on vacation. But
yeah, I'm up in Maine.
Maine.
The furthest point in Maine that you can possibly be before you hit Canada.
Nice.
Cool. Canada from here.
Nice. It's good to get away. I wish I could get away, but I'm on lockdown. So
come on up.
You don't tempt any of us at this table right now because we're screaming.
Another
to get
couple
away.
Up here because it's the 4th of July parade, and they have relay races, and you need another couple to win.
Yeah.
So come on up, bring somebody.
I wish that was in the plans.
I've got to win the relay race.
Yeah, you got to win. What's the prize?
I have no idea. A pod?
So you just want to win, huh?
Yeah, you just get a fish.
Are you a competitive person, I take it?
I'm ridiculously competitive.
Is that right?
Even if I'm losing, I'm like, I'm a hustler. You don't know what's coming next. And I still lose.
So yeah, and back to the Smalls family. Like I said, Rick is the one that introduced me to it, and it was it was eye opening. And like I said, we could see, and even when I watch it, like I've watched it more than a handful of times, and every time it never fails. It does not disappoint, no matter how many times I've watched it. And obviously, going back to your point about the chemistry that you've had with the creator, David Catalano, it's you could see it there just in your skills and your timing. Have you done much comedic acting or performances prior to your involvement with the Smalls Family?
Yeah, I high school I did improv, and then when I came to New York City, I did some stand up, and then like most actresses, you kind of just become a waitress for a really long time and just waiting for your next opportunity. And I found that with Dave, and then most recently, I've been involved in improv with UCB Theater and Magnet Theater, doing musical improv as well as long form improv.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it definitely it transcends. It shows on the on the screen. When I watched it, are you a fan? Are you a hip hop fan? I mean, you talked a little bit of your some of your involvement listening to music, but
I think Biggie more than anything played a huge part in a lot of. I mean, I grew up in this suburban white neighborhood, and even to us, I mean, I felt like Biggie's lyrics always meant something. Always. You could translate it into, to apply to your life. He made you feel empowered in some way. When you're a misunderstood teenage kid, in white suburbia, for some reason, you'd be in his car, being like, remember when you said you would die for me? Shit. Oh, that was just nice. And, and you feel like, you're Lil' Kim all of a sudden, and you feel like you're just empowered when your boyfriend's done you wrong in some way. The lyrics that they put together...
Yeah.
Meant something to us, and you're still at a party, and he comes on, and everybody loses their mind.
Yeah, and we talk about that quite a bit on the podcast of how there are certain MCs out there that penetrate the soul, and it's as if they are talking to you, and that's of course everyone has followed the life and times of the Notorious B.I.G. Mm-hmm. Biggie Smalls, and to each of us, he meant so much in the short amount of time that he was here. I mean, I still, when I look back at his career, how short it was, the impact that's still there, it's amazing. And the fact that what you guys did, how creative that outlet, that what you created, like I said, I've said it once, I said it again, I'll say it another time. It's just a breath of fresh air to look at it in a different light. How have you seen, how have you been received when you're out and about? Have you been noticed because of your role on the Smalls Family?
Facebook, obviously a lot more friends on Facebook, people coming out of the woodwork being like, oh my God, it hasn't, been... I get people staring at me sometimes, trying to figure out exactly who I am, but it hasn't really changed a lot outside of social media. The social media side has been really fun to see the debates that are sparked. A lot of people feel like, white people are ruining it, ruining Biggie's words, and a lot of other people feel like, or feel like we're taking advantage. Once again, white people are taking advantage, and then other people are like, this is amazing. We're so happy that somebody's bringing him back around and introducing his lyrics to a new generation, and are very excited about proving what an amazing lyricist he was and how much like Shakespeare he is.
Well, that's a good point. Yeah. That's a good point that you bring up when it comes to the divide within races. And I think it's a ignorant, stance to take, to say that white people are taking something away, or just even to point the finger, in that direction. Just because, I grew up, in the late 70s, early 80s, in the beginning of hip hop, and it wasn't. It wasn't a question. I had friends that were white, that were Puerto Rican, that were Asian, from all walks, all different colors. And that's the whole essence. That's the makeup. That's the body. That's the soul that pushes this thing that we call hip hop forward, that keeps it in our atmosphere, that, keeps it, submerges itself in our brains, our minds, our vision. So it's like, when someone says that, I just kind of dust it off and move on, just because for me it's about the creativity and what you're bringing to the table. So what you guys are doing is like you said, I mean, with Shakespeare, you take Shakespeare for instance, how many times a play has been done and has been acted by so many different cultures, you know what I mean? It transcends race. Agree?
Absolutely. And you know what? It's so funny. You know, being a white person and enjoying hip hop, it's like, hey, can I just enjoy this, please?
Yeah.
My lab, can't please? You know, it's music, and we want to be a part of it. Everyone wants to be a part of it, and Biggie is so amazing. He touched everyone at some point. He's touched everyone. That's how amazing he was. You know, he had something to say to everybody. And it's really exciting to, you know, for someone who's, I studied Shakespeare when I was in acting school. And not that Shakespeare is boring, but it's been done a lot. And it's really fun to do something similar, but with a completely different author. And translate something new. You know, we've retranslated the Bible a million times. We've retranslated Shakespeare, you know, a million times. It's really cool to take somebody new and find a new spin on it.
Yeah, and the fact that it's, I mean, it's easy. I can say it's blown up within social media, but the social media itself is blown up within our lives. I mean, it's a huge part of this generation, where you look back 10 years ago, you know, it was there, but it was nothing like it is now. And I think that's a big achievement, you know, for the entire cast of the Smalls family, just because there's a...
Yeah, to make an impact is huge, because it's very competitive medium right now to stand out. And, you know, obviously, you know, working with Biggie's lyrics is, you know, helps us, gives us the edge. But it's a huge kudos to the cast, and also to David and the crew, you know, for creating something that can stand out and that has stood out. And it's so exciting to be a part of it, and you know, hopefully we keep creating more.
Yeah, I mean, and like I said, the. It's an endless bound. I mean, there's no boundaries, should I say, when it comes to this. I mean, there are people all over the world. I've looked at the comments, and I've looked at, you know, the hits and stuff like that. I mean, you know, some movies don't do as well as this shows. And I think the first time I saw it, I posted something on my page saying, you know, this is better than most TV shows that are being produced. I mean, you look at any reality show that's being out, I'd like to see this on you know, in mainstream media, on a cable network or something like that. I mean, I think it would be awesome.
Thank you. That feels really, really good to hear. Yeah. I really appreciate that.
I mean, you've watched TV. There's stuff on there. Like, sometimes when you're watching it or you're channel surfing, I'm like, what am I watching?
There's a lot of crap on
TV.
Like,
I would love to see this, you know, on Broadway, personally.
Yeah.
I'm not a big Broadway fan, but I would love to see this type of, you know, to really see this in long form.
It would do very well on Broadway.
Really
just
cool.
Because,
well.
Just because
getting
of...
Getting the rights to it is a different story.
Yeah, but, I mean, just the comedic elements of it, the drama of it, the writing itself. I mean, it begins and ends right there with the writing. But
It writes itself. I mean, you know, Stepmama Smalls was originally meant just to be Mama Smalls. And then we just saw the rise in conflict in the lyrics. And we were like, this is not a mom. This is a stepmom. It just happened so naturally.
Yeah.
You know, with Katie being, you know, why is she being such a brat? You know, what does this woman have to gain also? You know, and with the lyrics and, you know, if you want to order to take her to Fatburger, you know, is just not something someone would say to their mom.
Yeah.
And she just became this, you know, the lyrics just pointed the direction.
So take me through the first initial shoot. Was it a big production? Was it a long production? Did you already know the songs, or did you have to?
Yeah, we did Warning, Going Back to Cali, and did the first three in one day and 7 hours.
Wow.
in a house in Wayne, New Jersey. It was actually my old boss's home. And, you know, it was so much fun. It was very tiring too. For me, it was tough because I knew the lyrics and I had a little bit of swagger. it was hard for me to tone it down and become a mom, which also led to her being a stepmom, you know, just having a little bit more, you know, I'm a little bit younger, I'm a little bit more of that trophy wife, you know, attitude. Yeah. I have a little bit more attitude than a mom would normally have towards a daughter. And you just knowing hip-hop sort of led it to that, because it was hard for me as an actress to come back. For James, it was hard for him, you know, I don't think he really had much of a hip-hop background.
He's good.
And it was tough for him to get some of the words out. I mean, you know, he was amazing when he delivered them, but it was hard. Sometimes he'd be tripping over some of the words. And then you've got Tess, Katie Smalls, who'd never heard this in her life, you know, 13 years old, you know, just trying, like, what am I saying? And, you know, it was a lot of fun. It was definitely tough. But it was a lot of fun, and Dave was, you know, so patient and really had thought out the interpretation of this and really helped us along the way. You know, like saying to Tess, like, this is grossing you out. Your dad is grossing you out right now. He's being sexual with your stepmom, and it's just grossing you out. You're a 13-year-old girl, and you're just like, ew. And that's what that means. And you're saying it like Shakespeare. You're just trying to, what's the meaning under the word? Yeah. And Dave was just, I was like, are you sure you don't want to do this, Dave? Because you're nailing these lines every time. It was definitely an adventure. And then we just started clicking after that.
Yeah, it would seem so. I mean, it seems like, especially if you said, you know, you filmed it in a day. I mean, the chemistry definitely came together because, you know, what we see on YouTube, and for the audience that's listening right now, they can find this on YouTube and I believe Vimeo as well, correct?
Yes, and Funnier Guy as well.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean it's definitely making its way around and has received a lot of hits. But when you watch it, that's one of the things I've always wondered: like, how many takes, you know, did it take, or how long did it take? And you just answered that. I mean, a day is not a lot of time to go into production.
Oh, it's not. I mean, I worked on The Good Wife for the first season, and you know, we'd have 16-hour days, and you might get through 4 pages of dialogue.
Yeah.
You know, a day, you know, he just knew the shots. He had a seasoned crew. You know, by the time we got to the fourth through the sixth episode, we had a full crew that was totally dedicated, you know, to Dave, and also just in love with the idea of the small family and really wanted to see it succeed, and it became a machine.
Yeah, I mean, it's
just pumping it out.
It works. It works in every way. So we have, what, how many episodes now that are out
there? We have 6 episodes now. And right now we're getting a lot of feedback from people who really want to see, you know, the Shakur family or something. You know, they want to see, you know, everyone's got an idea of how we can go further and take it, you know. So we're working with that and seeing, not to say that that's coming, but... just don't know which direction.
Yeah, I could imagine that it takes a lot of planning. And I assume, I don't know if I asked David this, I don't know if you remember Rick, but I assume that you have to work with the family to clear the rights for the music and all that stuff. So
yeah, I mean, currently we don't have the rights to it, and it's hard for us on YouTube to really... see the amount of hits that we could have because we do play his music at the end, and you know how they have all those licensing and they prohibit you from airing things, especially on mobile devices.
Yeah.
They prohibit you from airing anything that might have copyrighted material, so you can't really see what you actually have on YouTube. You have to put things on Vimeo, you have to put them on Funny or Die. it would be nice to know what we really have.
Yeah.
Out there, but because of licensing, you know, it's even though Revolt did interview Dave, you know, that doesn't necessarily mean that they're ready to sign anything over to us.
Yeah, it's. I mean, I don't know. It's just something I would like to see more of. We've talked on this podcast just our own thirst, our own hunger for good content, for creative content, and this definitely fills that void. But we get to the sixth episode. It's a funny era that we're in because we can now download, you know, the entire season of Orange Is the New Black or the entire season of any television show, and then we're just left to go on to the next, which is good and bad because we can just
doesn't create a want necessarily.
Yeah, and you know, I find myself wanting more of the Smalls Family, and that's why I was like, you know what, I'm gonna see if I can get Jill on the horn and see if we can pick her brain and see what's next.
We hope that we would get some sort of licensing or I think Puffy's career was made on sampling, so I think it, in some form, this is us just sampling.
Yeah, well, it's hip hop. It's rap. It's everything that embodies everything that's good about the culture itself. Just early rap music was just based on spinning, you know, two records from various groups, and then an MC would or a group of MCs would rhyme over top of them. You know, it's basic and. Something like that shouldn't stunt the growth of something as creative as the Smalls Family. I mean, we definitely need to continue to get the word out there and put it on podcasts, you know, like this one, or you know, find other forms of media to promote it. Because I'd be first in line if this was on Broadway. I would be right there, front
That'd
and center.
I'd be
you know,
there.
And the greatest thing is that. Even though they're not saying go ahead and do it, nobody is telling us not to.
Yeah.
No one has come to us and said stop.
So keep going while you can.
They've only brought us, and they've only brought us out to say how did you come up with this idea? Everyone just wants to know how and why and give us props. So no one said stop. So as long as no one says stop, we can keep going.
Yeah, I mean, there's it's like you said, there's a sea of material out there. I mean, there's tons of material, so I hope that that you guys do continue on that path. How about I noticed something else on your website, the NFL rhyme reel. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, that was Nick Javis and Dave created that, and that was really just Nick being an absolute talent. Lyricist. Every Sunday night, he would watch, Thursday and Sunday and Monday, watch every single game, and that night, Monday night, stay up all night just writing every single lyric out, just giving the highlights of the game, and it was absolutely fabulous. And then because Nick also was a comedian, he had we created characters and little sketches to throw right in the middle of it, just to make it something unique, not just to have it be, him rhyming the entire time of the game. It was something just to make it a little bit more entertaining and draw an even greater crowd. We came up based on his real cousin Tommy. We created a cousin Tommy, and I became his girlfriend, his whack job girlfriend, Sandy. And then we found other characters to create along the way. We did a little paid homage to Anchorman. In one of the episodes, I think it was episode 11. It was a really fun time, and again, just showing how creative David is.
But see, and that's just it. Yeah, that's just it. The creativity is endless, and it goes in a couple few different directions. But that's what I think, especially the early years of rap music, was about. You know, the fun. It doesn't always have to be about gangsters. It doesn't always have to be, and I sound like a broken record because I talked about this on my last podcast. It doesn't have to be about pimps or gangsters or killing someone. Like, you can actually have fun and and blend it, you know, with comedy or drama, or you could take a dramatic rhyme and make it fun and interesting. I think what he does is really unique, just because, and you just outlined it, where he'll watch the games and then that night he'll go back and write rhymes and then put together a production, and that takes a lot of energy and focus. And again, it goes back to you being able to have the chemistry with your team and being able to deliver the performance. So it's,
and we really believed in it. You know, we really believed that it's entertaining, and we had fun doing it. And half the battle in anything is having the desire. And once you have the desire and the true will to do it, it gets done, and it gets done very easily. If you don't really care and you're not invested, things are difficult. They're really hard. But these things just came, I mean, it's a lot of work, but they came so easily because we all loved hip hop. We all love the spoken word, you know, and definitely, definitely all of us love entertaining.
Yeah.
Including entertaining ourselves.
No, yeah, it definitely shows. What about plans for your future? Do you have any plans on pursuing more into acting or comedic roles or even Broadway?
Oh yeah, definitely. You know, I'm currently seeking an agent, but you know, we have. I'm taking classes at UCB Theater. I'm on a troupe called the Agency Bureau. We're always performing in the city. We do long form improv. Currently training to do musical improv, which is amazingly hilarious. And they also have hip hop. We freestyle within these musicals. Training to do that, so it's ongoing. Never stops.
Yeah, no, it isn't. It's something you have to just keep grinding at and stay, you know, keep moving forward. I've seen where the people that stay with their craft usually reap the rewards from their craft. So yes, keep doing what you're doing, because
it's so much more rewarding as a not as a hobby, but yeah, we'll call it that, than it has been as a career. Just it can take so much fun out of it.
Yeah.
When you try so hard to create a career out of it, and it's been so much more rewarding when the pressure's off and we're just having fun.
Yeah, that's important. That's a huge part of it, and it also keeps you motivated, keeps you grounded, and mm-hmm. and focused. So that is. And you live in New York now?
Yep, I live in Queens.
Because I think Queens in the house. I heard. Yeah, I think David said you were from Virginia, right?
Yeah, I'm actually first generation out, first generation back in. My grandfather was born in Bushwick. And my grandmother was born in Greenwich. My father born in Jamaica, Queens, and then I was born in PG County, Maryland.
Yeah, because we're based right out of we're actually recording out of Rick's restaurant. He owns a restaurant down in Gainesville, Virginia. And,
Gainesville.
So we're mobile. Our studio is a mobile studio. We're always moving different locations.
Speaking of mobile, your mobile phone, which I won't say aloud, is almost the same number as my father's.
Is that right?
Yes. I was like, what? Could, my dad, Malcolm Riddle?
That's me. That's right.
Could be.
It's American Riddle. That's what's up. Yeah. So, we want you to keep doing what you're doing and keep pressing forward, because we want to see more out of you. We love everything that you've collaborated with David, and hopefully we'll keep seeing some more of you in the future. So yeah, thanks for calling in. You want to give us say something about American Riddle?
Thank you so much. It's an absolute pleasure talking to you guys.
That's what's up. So, I really appreciate you calling in, because, you know, what we've been trying to build here is a momentum similar to what you guys are doing. It's just find interesting people in the community, people that we've linked up with via social media, via friends and family. And we've been fortunate enough to have yourself and David and other interesting people like Crazy Legs, we did last week from Rocksteady. And we're a work in motion, you know, work in progress, should I say.
We appreciate it. I mean, you guys keep the ball rolling. I mean, you keep the momentum high. You know, if if they weren't around, then, you know, it would just eventually fizzle out. But, you know, you keep the word out, and we're all here to help each other.
Well, I appreciate you calling in. Jill, we won't
hold
you up because we know you have a competition to get into up in Maine.
I'm going to win that card, motherfucker.
That's right. That's what's up. So, yeah, you enjoy the rest of your vacation, and we'll talk to you soon, all right?
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Bye, Rick.
So, yeah, Jill from the smallest. What's up, Rick?
So, if I talk, can she hear me?
No.
All right, that's why I didn't talk. I just want to go on the record saying that's
no,
why I didn't.
No, she can.
She can?
She can barely hear us.
Oh, call her back then.
You didn't put the phone in the middle like you promised. Well, you just kept it all to yourself.
Can you call her back then and say?
what was on your mind?
No, I thought some of the stuff she was getting into. First of all, I think she's funny.
Yeah.
She's funny.
Just personality-wise. But to hear her explain how you had to almost unlearn, forget that she said she had some swagger, forget that she had that, and then she had to be someone playing a role who knew nothing about that role, and she couldn't let her own background influence that. Like, she gave you a little peek into how you prepare for a scene.
Jill Bree's in the house. You know what I mean? She brought
it. Yeah,
yeah.
I thought that. I mean, she's funny. That's funny.
It goes back to the last couple few podcasts we've done with guests where they stay focused on their craft.
And to not have an agent? I mean, I don't know anything about acting, but I mean, she seems talented.
She's looking for an
agent.
That's
how difficult that business is. And to really have to, that's a grind in itself. I couldn't imagine being able to do stuff like she's done and still not, it's really not, I don't want to say not significant, but not enough to get you out there.
Well, you got to keep grinding at it.
Yeah.
You know,
and I guess that's why social media, you know, kind of changes the way you think. Because 10 years ago, if you saw somebody on TV or that person had to be doing. Now anybody can do it. Now
you can do it, but again, it goes back to
not everybody can be good at it.
Yeah, and it goes back to the production value of what they've so successfully been able to produce that series, and when you see it, and even the NFL, what was it called? I forget the rhyme weekly. I don't have it in front of me. I know I'm messing it up. The NFL rhyme
reel.
You can see the chemistry that's there, and she's got great comedic timing.
Oh yeah, like, she said it that perfect. It's really hard to stand out.
Yeah,
that's what's hard because there's so much, so many things.
So when you put something like this together, it's you don't see it like what you're saying is you don't see it like in a mainstream if you're on ABC, NBC, or CBS, or you know one of the cable stations and it's on social media. But at the same time, there's a huge social media audience out there.
Yeah.
I mean, huge because it has no boundaries.
Right.
I mean, you're talking you could see something right here. And then you could see something in Los Angeles. You can see it in China. You could see it in Puerto Rico. Anywhere you go, you've got fans. And I think it's just a matter of time. It's happening as we speak. This is why, you know, I wanted to. I was very pleased that David was on the show. Creator David Catalano was on the show, the creator of it. And then to reach out and have Jill on the show. I was very pleased with that because at the same time, we're all connected and we all want to be connected.
Yep.
You know what I mean? We have a very similar, you know, vision. And that's the power of social media. I'll give you a little story about social media. The other day, I was talking with my son. We were just, you know, bouncing ideas around. I was washing my car. He was outside and I was like, yeah, I was telling about a film I want to shoot, blah, 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 blah. And I wanted to reach out to a person that's on social media, on Vine, that's really big. A guy named Terry Excellent, funny guy, funny kid that produces little short films on Vine. They're like 6 or 7 seconds. And some of them are very creative. Some of them are extremely funny. Sometimes when when there's nothing on TV, sometimes I'll just sit for like 30 minutes.
Yep.
That could be a lot. That's a lot of Vines. But
that is a lot of Vines.
I'll sit for like, you know, 15, 20, 30 minutes sometimes and just scroll through the Vines and just laugh out loud. Well, there's this kid named Terry Excellent that's on there, and he's got some very funny Vines that I watch. And I told my son, I was like, yeah, I'll see if Terry will come on the podcast, you know. My son was like, well, how are you going to do that? And I was like, I don't know, I'll tweet him or something. I'll send him a message. he'll never respond, my son says. You know what I mean? You think he's going to respond? I was like, well, what do you think? I was like, Adam Carolla responded. And he just stopped and looked at me. And he, as to say, yeah, it's true.
Yeah.
But at the same time, he was like, he was doubting. He was doubting Pops. You know what I mean? He was totally doubting me.
Well, that goes to show you, too, that, again, not to disregard how good someone is at what they do, but when you see someone on Vine,
yep,
there's a perception that, well, look at that person.
Yeah.
It's just, they're just regular people.
Like, untouchable.
With talent. Now you're able to gain access to more of that.
That's right.
Out there. It's always been there. There's just been no way to get in touch, to get to, you know, connect.
Yeah, yeah. You wouldn't know. You wouldn't even know about this person.
Right.
You wouldn't know about Jill.
Right.
You wouldn't even know about them because
I mean, this show has proven that you can.
Yeah, you can
connect.
Yeah, you can connect. So with Terry, I told my son, I'm washing my car. I was like, oh, I'll just send him a message. You know, so I looked for him, scrolled, I'm washing my car. I took a second, looked him up on Twitter. He's there. I sent him a tweet. By the time I finished washing my car, drying it off, got in the car, Justin and I were driving. We were like, I was taking him back to his mom's house, you know, because it's separate households. You know what I mean? So usually there's this period when we're driving, we're both sad. We're like, oh, I gotta take them. Yeah. So we're quiet, and then all of a sudden my phone ding goes off, ding ding, and I look down. Terry, excellent.
And you just show him the phone.
Yeah, that's what I did. As if,
I showed him anything, just show him the phone.
Yeah, and my son gave me the nod. So for me, it was a good moment. You know what I mean? It was a victory. You know what I mean? When you have children, and you say something to your son, your children, and they question it, and they're not, you know. You got to give him some proof.
Yeah, right before he gets out the car, you show him the phone again.
Yeah.
Right before he goes to his mother, show him the phone again. Yeah. Hey, Justin.
Every victory. That was a victory. That was a victory. That's my point. So, yeah, I was shining. I was definitely, you know, taking advantage and basking in the glory of connecting. And you know, Pops is right. You know, it's not that I'm right, but everyone's like that. Everyone's connected in some way. And we need to use it for more positive stuff, fun stuff, creative stuff. And keep connecting because there's somebody next to you that's doing something that's funny or creative. That's the relationship that we have, and we're able to be on American Riddle Podcast or I could be on someone else's show, or you could create something like the Smalls Family or a web series. You know, there's no limits.
Right. That's the one thing everybody has in common. They're all using social media for the same reason. Or in some way. So why would someone not want to come on the podcast?
Yeah.
Because they're doing something for the same reason you're doing something.
Yep. And no, it's all being supportive, and it actually unites us. That's kind of what I was thinking about when she was talking about how, like, like you were saying, the divide between races and stuff and how people are interpreting their Smalls Family videos and stuff like that. Some people like it, some people don't. I was like, this is a way to actually unite, you know, instead of dividing. I think this is really cool that's kind of what hip-hop is about uniting people and uniting cultures and uniting ideas. Yeah. So I think it's really great.
It's completely about unity.
Yeah.
And the world used to be so big. Now it's small.
It feels so small. There's like,
Small.
We're all connected, like you say. It's weird.
Yeah, but that's the point.
It's amazing.
When we thought it was big, it was when, you know, a lot of stuff was getting messed up. You know what I mean? We were out, you know, taking advantage, using up the resources, stuff like that. When you really look at what we have here on Earth, it's a blink of time, blink of an eye. What is it? Something like that. Yeah. In a blink of an eye, it's done, and it's a small window that we have to do something good. And we shouldn't just automatically just point the finger and say, oh, the white man is trying to take this from me, or this group is doing this, or it's
all
even
complimentary, you know.
That's why it works both ways. I mean, social media works both ways. It also lets knuckleheads get their
with
message
that
out even more.
Yeah, the anonymousness
even
of
more
it.
I mean,
but
there's
filters, there's stuff that I filter out that I don't need to see. You know, I don't need to be.
Yeah, but you know, back then when you had some, you know, you had a small group of people, you know, in some small town, and I don't want anybody in Kentucky to be mad at me, but I'll just use that as an example. In Kentucky, you know, spewing all the, you know, hate, and it stayed there. You know, they don't get coverage. They don't. Now you take your message, good or bad, and that's one of the, you know, we all share the same social media, for good or bad. You know, and it needs to be more good that, you know, we're doing the podcast and Catalano and, you know, that needs to be at the forefront, the good.
And the positive side of it definitely needs to be the forefront. You're right.
And there's tons of good stuff out there. It's just like what Crazy Legs was saying about hip-hop and breaking.
You just got to look for it.
Yeah, yeah. You got to open your eyes. You got to, you know, do a little research. And it's there.
Yeah.
I mean, it is there. I was watching I was watching the BET Awards the other night. BET was on. And the whole
BET was on?
BET Awards were on.
Just BET's on.
BET Awards. What are you trying to call me?
The awards were on BET.
Yeah. Well, the award ceremony
award show.
Was on. There
I
you
get
go.
It
was on BET.
Ozzy's trying to
a little bit
do something
I
to me.
To
people.
Do something.
She's wound up. She's hungry before the podcast.
And I needed, ate. Needed, you guys are the ones who are hungry now.
Needed
I'm sure.
A sandwich.
I ate it. It was delicious.
So the BET Awards were on, and I was reflecting back to the Crazy Legs interview. And how he was comparing and saying that there are people that are creative in hip-hop that don't get the recognition because they're doing something that's different or they're doing something that's quote-unquote not the norm or that's not hasn't been dumbed down, whether it's in rhyme, rap, or whatever. And that was the graffiti artist Mar 139. Is it Mar or Mare? Mar 139, right? He designed the BET award. So the whole time I'm watching
right.
BET, I'm thinking about him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I could see it. You could see his art, his craft, his sculpture right there. When all the hoopla was going on between Nicki Minaj and what was the other chick's name?
Iggy Azalea.
Yeah. So that was going on.
That's the best thing about her is her name.
What's her name?
Iggy Azalea.
Yeah, she looks she looks like
she's Nicki Australian.
Minaj.
She's Australian.
They look a lot alike.
They sound alike. She sounds like Nicki Minaj. I don't like Nicki Minaj, but I'll give her credit for sounding like Nicki Minaj. I'll give Nicki Minaj credit for sounding like Nicki Minaj, and Iggy Azalea sounds like Nicki Minaj.
Yeah.
In my opinion.
They have similar
deliveries.
But their facial features are kind of
similar. What does that say about Nicki Minaj? Isn't Iggy Azalea white?
Yeah.
And Nicki Minaj is black?
Yeah.
But again, it goes back
this
to...
This doesn't mean anything.
But
they look alike.
They do look
How
alike.
Can they look alike?
They do
weird.
Look alike.
Who's trying to look like who? One of them is trying to look like the other one then.
Well, Nicki probably thinks that, you know...
Well, she said something at the show... At the award show about Iggy Azalea.
She was basically... Yeah, that she doesn't write her lyrics, basically.
But I'll say this. When no one... I've heard the song a few times. She said that T.I., like Iggy Azalea, hired T.I. as a ghostwriter on her album. And there's a verse on that song, Fancy. After I heard Nicki Minaj say that, sounds exactly like T.I.
A lot of people do that. You know what I mean?
That's where rap, where people pick and choose when they want to say, okay, you can't bite. You got to be creative. You got to hold your own. That's where you either do or you don't.
There she is. So huge right now.
Yeah. I like her though. Truth be told.
Oh.
I don't know anything about her.
Just listen to her.
Maybe I just like listening to her or looking at her. I don't know. But I don't have a problem with her. I really don't. I don't have a problem with her. What don't you like
about
her?
Very poppy. I don't really
I'm
care.
Sorry.
I'm just not a big fan.
I cannot
really
have Iggy Azalea and Rakim on my iPod at the same time. They cannot share space. It doesn't make sense to me.
It's weird.
This isn't something that. This isn't something.
I don't consider this hip hop. It's pop.
Well, it is. You need it. You need one to get to the.
She's rapping over pop.
Well, let me ask you this. So the fact that T.I. wrote for her, does that lend her credibility? Because T.I.
Yeah,
that's what I'm asking. I mean, I'm not. I don't know the answer. I'm just saying.
A little.
Does that mean that it is hip hop? Because T.I. did it.
It is hip hop, though.
Is it T.I.'s fault then?
It's no one's fault. It's hip hop. Whether you like it or not, it's like saying Vanilla Ice. You know what I mean? When Vanilla Ice was out, but now you have Eminem, and it has nothing to do with
it's just a different branch.
So it's Nicki Minaj's fault.
It does have something to do.
Iggy Azalea's
popular. It may have something to do with color, but it breaks down that color barrier because it gives other artists an opportunity to bring in their, you know, their style of emceeing or DJing or you know whatever it is they're bringing to the table because it all embodies everything that's this what we call hip hop. It's part of the culture, so you can have you know Iggy Azalea and you can have a Nicki Minaj and you can have Missy Elliott because they're basically children of
a Missy Elliott and the ones before them. You know what I mean? It's all part of this grand thing that we call hip hop. Yeah. Doesn't mean you have to. Yeah.
No, I agree with you. I see what you're saying.
Yeah, it doesn't mean
I'm that. Yeah, I get it. The guy who drinks Miller Lite all the time only likes Miller Lite. Can't understand why anybody else would drink anything else. But Sam Adams is beer, and so is Miller Lite.
Yeah, it's right? there.
It's all
it's
beer.
There. Yeah, and there's a market for this. This is going to be what geared toward teenagers.
She's huge.
Yeah, 12-year-olds.
Yeah, yeah. Like, yeah. Not even. Yeah.
And 13-year-olds.
There's older girls that like they, a lot of people.
They have a lot of money these
stuff.
Days.
Oh, I get in the car. I don't listen to this. My kids aren't in my car with me a lot at all. And I listen to XM, like I said. But we get in the car and the radio's on. They know every song on the radio.
Yeah. But you every used song. To, too, when you were that age, remember?
Yeah, but the songs on the radio are better than...
Well, that was different, but it's a different time.
You're right. You're right. And I'm just looking around the car saying, one of us does not belong here.
Hey, man.
And it's me.
Oh.
You know what I mean? To get
old-timer.
Yeah.
To have Rakim, sometimes you had to have a Gigolo Tony. You know what I mean?
Oh.
You just...
I'm trying to... Oh, the Rapping Duke?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, Rapping Duke wasn't... I mean, it was pretty basic. I had to educate Miriam about the
yes,
rap.
The Rapping Duke?
Yeah.
Oh. But I remember, actually, I remember that coming out. People were like, oh, look at that. It's something new. It's something different. So I guess I contradicted
myself.
Maybe
we're not as open-minded as we would like to
think. I'm not. As you get older, you're allowed to be less open-minded. As you get older, you're allowed to be less open-minded. It's one of the perks.
Really?
Of being old.
I think that's just an excuse.
Yeah.
Yeah, Miriam didn't know. When Biggie said, remember the Rapping Duke, da-ha, da-ha.
Yeah.
Tell ya, Pilgrim, I started the crap when you were in diapers and wetting machines.
Like, for me, this is ridiculous.
It is. Well, it's ridiculous to me, too, right now. This is. This is like somebody mocking. It's John Wayne, a guy doing a John Wayne impression. I don't bother nobody. I'm a real nice guy. That's embarrassing for hip hop. That embarrasses me.
You had to have it. Yeah. That's
I actually like Iggy Azalea more than I like that.
That is something that you have to have, and that's the comic relief.
You might have found the one thing, though, that I think you could have done without. I know you had to have it, but that's really
the one thing
probably could have done without.
Yeah, but then you wouldn't have Big's lyrics. Do you remember
all right.
Rapping Duke? Da-ha, da-ha.
Whoever thought that hip-hop would make it this far?
You
right,
wouldn't have had that.
Right there. You wouldn't have had that.
Because
he's saying
first.
Right there, remember the Rapping Duke, how bad that was?
Yeah.
That was considered hip-hop back then.
But you
then.
Needed that.
Yeah.
You needed that.
To show people, I guess.
You needed what were the magazines before, the old hip-hop magazines?
Source?
Before Source, because that they led to Source. I forget what they were.
Ones.
Yeah, I forget what they were. But you needed those. It's the evolution.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's taken us somewhere. Just like when you have MCs out there that you may or may not like today, and you're like, well, what? You know, I hear a lot of cats, myself included, that complain about today's rappers, today's MCs, right? But it's going somewhere. We don't know where it's going. Hopefully it's going to a good place. Hopefully, you know, for every MC that you don't like, you know, you do have a common. You know what I mean? You got a common. You do got
But goes back to doing your research. You know, you have to dig a little bit deeper now to find
and
more your style.
And you're smarter.
You know?
Yeah, who
There's
talks
a lot
to
out
you?
There. Yeah.
You know, for the kids, you know, my son and stuff like that, they're going to have MCs that talk to them. But they're going to know at some point when they turn that corner, you know what I mean, they're going to know the value of
sift.
A KRS-One,
you hope.
Rakim,
sift through it.
You know what I mean?
That's I mean, I
DJs
didn't,
like Premier. We didn't even talk about Premier.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? We're supposed
That's
to talk
big.
To Jill about Premier.
Oops.
So, but yeah. And back to the interview, I'm really happy that she was able to call in. You know, I'm sure it's nerve-wracking because, like you said, when it comes to social media, there are so many people out there, but there's a lot of people that are afraid to actually do stuff, create stuff, put, you know, take everything and put it on the line and show their face, even if it's for 6 or 7 seconds on Vine, if it's on Facebook, or even do a podcast where our thoughts are recorded and then uploaded, and then to call into a podcast, you know, can be nerve-wracking as well. I've had, you know, a few people cancel or just a little too nervous to come on
really?
To the show. Yeah, I mean,
well,
you know.
For someone who's done stuff, not that she's any different. She's really down to earth. But to call in,
if you're a performer,
to talk to someone that you don't know that much about,
yeah,
that's taking
it's a risk.
She trusted Catalano. Catalano trusted you
yeah.
to recommend that she do it.
Yeah.
So you're building that credibility, that trust factor. Because, yeah, you're right. Who knows what? She didn't know what you're going to do with this.
No.
Who listens to it? What's your audience?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
No, we're building. We're growing. I can just be honest about it.
Yeah.
And even the setting up today. I mean, we were unsure. I couldn't get the wires right. You guys were looking around like two ghosts, scared to say something because we weren't sure.
I don't know if anybody can hear me. That's how Miriam sounded.
We'll get it right. You guys listening.
I have stuff to say.
Yeah, yeah.
I want to do all the interviews that I've been part of over again.
No,
so
yeah,
redo.
Can we do a redo? Can I get a redo?
We can do that. Or I could go in and edit stuff.
No, I don't like editing. Good. I don't mind sitting here and listening.
I just I like to put it up as is.
I like when it's natural.
Yeah, I like the raw form of the podcast.
This is a little off the subject, but I saw a clip that Crazy Legs posted on Facebook at some party in the park.
Yeah.
Where he said something, it must have been 30 seconds, and there's all these kids gathered around him. DJ Red Alert is there. He's laughing. Somebody filmed him, and you see Crazy Legs, you know, he's doing some moves in a circle. I mean, just at some random party in the park. That's what you don't have. You're not going to go to a party, or it wasn't even jam barbecue, whatever, and Crazy Legs is there. DJ Red Alert, who is he's right up there with Crazy Legs.
Yeah,
who's actually the uncle of one of the guys in Jungle Brothers who helped start Tribe Called Quest. That dude, too, is like on the Mount Rushmore of hip-hop, not just, you know, MCs, but to just have a random...
Like the song we opened up to, you know, Marlon Mall, The Symphony.
Yeah, Marlon Mall.
Every one of those dudes on the mic ripped it, you know what I mean? And, yeah, to...
What a collaboration.
But where could you go around here? You know, you live in certain parts of New York and the Bronx. Anywhere in any of the boroughs, there's a good chance
you're bound
during the summer. You'll find something you will see in New York, period.
But that's our... I think that's our... you know, one of the things that responsibilities of a medium like this is to bring the knowledge to the people the best you can. Because, you know, who knows? Maybe there'll be a cookout and they'll see Malcolm Riddle. You know what I mean?
Ooh.
Huh? The Malcolm Riddle.
You know what I mean?
Is that the Malcolm Riddle?
That's right. You might see. That's right. DJ Defcon, Kid Fresh. You know what I mean? I'm known by many names. You know?
That's true.
But, yeah, that's – but, you know, out in the burbs, of course, you're not going to see – you know, historic figures like that.
Although,
but if you go to New York, L.A.,
yeah.
you know, Chicago, you go to certain areas where...
London, Paris.
I was working at a restaurant at Tyson's Corner about 6 years ago, and Ludacris walked in.
Luda!
That's what's up.
At Tyson's Corner. Looked around, and walked right back out.
Yeah.
And then he had dudes chasing him all over the mall. Kids were chasing him all over the mall.
Yeah, fame has its price, but then, you know, like you said... And just like we witnessed with Jill, when you're down to earth, like Jill or David or Crazy Legs, you know what I mean? It's just an everyday thing. It's just a cookout. We're just cooking out and having fun.
I'll put in like in cooking terms, when you create the dish, it's never really any big deal. I might give it to you and you love it.
Yeah.
It's the best thing. But I created it, so I knew it was going to be good.
Yeah.
That's like Crazy Legs. He helped create it.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, for those, that's how you stay grounded. They didn't just jump in. That's how you know people have a passion. And
they were doing it for themselves.
Right.
They were doing it for themselves.
Right. Like he said, I didn't do it for you. If you don't like it, that's...
You guys have been witness. We had Nicer on the phones from Tatch Crew. They were doing it to basically get... Be happy with themselves and get recognition from their peers, the other people that were doing it. Same thing with Crazy Legs. Jill just pointed out the same thing with her. She's here. She's doing it. She's
they like to entertain themselves.
They were entertaining themselves and having fun putting it together, and that's why they put it together. There was no, you know, I'm getting a Bentley or I need to be on. I'm doing this for a reel to give to Fox or something like. No, that's not even the goal. The goal is to let's get together, let's have some fun,
right.
And let's put together a finished product.
They'd have done it. I could see people like them, Jill and David, doing it anyway. Social media or not, but no place to upload it just for themselves.
Yeah.
They would have done it regardless. It just so happens that you have this medium. Well, you put it out there. We're doing it anyway.
Yeah.
Let's put it out.
Just like this podcast.
Right. You're doing it anyway.
Ain't no joke. Like I was talking to my brother last night. We were like, I was talking about just some different things. I'm working on some of the frustrations with producing the podcast. But the fact is, every week, something's getting put up. You know what I mean? Nothing's going to stop the show. You know, kidney stones did for a second, but you know, it's, even still, you know, you just keep producing, keep doing something, keep putting it out there, and eventually, you know, there are rewards like having Crazy Legs on the show. You know what I mean? Or Jill Breeze, or David Catalano, or whomever. You know what I mean? Or Rick Marrero. You know what I mean? Those are the rewards of you consistently doing something, and you don't know what you're doing. Like, I have no idea where the podcast. If you had said a year ago, I'd have Crazy Legs on the podcast. I couldn't have
fathomed the idea.
No, not even. You know what I mean? I was just like, you know, I had one pair of headphones and like two mics. Barely.
Look at you now. Yeah. So much technology everywhere.
Yeah, look at me.
I'm going to take pictures of this stuff.
No. It's a mess, people. It's a mess. But you don't know where anything's going. You know what I mean? You're just doing it because it feels right. Hopefully you're having fun doing it. It could be the restaurant like Desiderio in Gainesville, Virginia. Come check them out. You know what I mean? I do the wine tastings on Friday nights. Come see us. But you don't know. You're creating because it fulfills you.
Every year, if you would have asked me 5 years ago, we'd be here. Just be here.
Yeah.
I'd have said no. 6 months after we opened the restaurant, I would have said we're about to close.
Yeah. Well,
there's no way. But things you know, tend to, they're living, breathing. They have a momentum, they have a mind of their own, and they will
evolve
and move forward if you allow it.
Yeah.
You can't,
if you have the passion for it, you can't, and you want it, and
right.
you know.
You could either be, this is an old saying, you can either be the gas or the brake.
Yeah.
You don't want to be the brake.
No, you don't want to be that. So, yeah, and that's the important thing that you have to take out of life itself. You know what I mean? You just keep moving forward.
Yep.
It doesn't matter. You know what you're in a job that you're doing. If you hate it, get out of it. You know what I mean? If it's not moving you in the right direction, if it's not fulfilling you, you got to make a change.
Yeah.
You know, if you're around people, a group of people that's kind of obstructing your view, your vision, then you know. They got to go.
And they're holding you back.
Yeah, they got. Well, you're holding yourself back because you're allowing yourself to be in that environment. So sometimes you got to make changes and switch it up on people. But at the end of the day, you really have to do stuff for yourself, and that's what we're doing. That's what Jill Breeze is doing. You know what I mean? I like that Jill Breeze.
Yeah, it's nice.
You know what I mean? She's got swag. You know what I mean? She's up in Maine, kicking it.
On vacation and still calling in.
She's chilling. Yeah, I'm glad she made time. And for those of you guys listening, thanks for tuning in. You know, to take these words, take this stuff that we're putting together, because we're bringing the real to you. You know what I mean? We're bringing it to you. We're giving you pearls. I've said this once. I said it before. We're giving you pearls and wisdom. You know what I mean? Rick Marrero just laid it out for you. The hip hop.
I did, didn't I?
You did?
I did.
You were dropping science, man.
You're so
man.
Proud of yourself
I
right
did.
Now.
At 1:26 on Wednesday.
So you guys gotta listen.
That's it. That's what I based my whole week on.
Yeah. And
highlights.
And any changes you gotta make them, but keep moving forward. That's what's up. Would you close us out, Rick?
Oh, come on. Huh? You put me on a spot like that. I got nothing to say. Goodbye.
Thank you.
We don't know our tagline.
Oh, yeah, I do. But that's yours. I think we should all have our own. Can I have my own?
What would you say?
I don't know.
Huh?
Peace.
I like peace. Yeah. You know what I mean? We gotta get an echo effect. Don't put me in charge of that.
What happened to peace? Peace. Yeah. Paid in full.
I could do that. I like what you said when we opened the last show. You're like, I am.
I am.
I like that.
There it is. I am.
But you guys know my tagline, people.
Yes.
So you've heard it once. You're gonna hear it again. Domino motherfucker.
Panamera, Rana, young nigga, hit Porsche. Got a young bitch, pull it up in a V. Smoke a lot of Kush, and I have a lot of sick. Had to beat the grind up.
I think I'm gonna play the outtakes. I think I'm gonna play it. You know how you have outtakes? Like at the end of a show, I think I'm gonna do that whole thing and do like closing music, but then have outtakes. That way. Yeah. Because it sounds fine. It is what it is.
Molly Wong.
I'm having a bad day. Straight up. I'm having a bad motherfucking day. I mean, and this thing right here is driving me crazy. It pops out, man. I need some fucking tape.
I just have regular tape. I don't have fucking tape.
I don't care who's first or who last, but I know that y'all just better rock this at the drop of a dime, baby.
All right, I'm gonna let that record. When we opened the show, I don't think it's gonna matter that I said Big Daddy Kane,
huh?
Do you think it will? When I was like setting it up, or should I go back, or should I leave it there for comic value and just leave it, or should I say, how did it start?
I think you should say Biggie Smalls.
I was like the late great Biggie Smalls, but so, I said the late great Big Daddy Kane, right?
Yeah,
because I was looking at this and I was trying to.
I know so, you're trying late, to do too much.
Well, so I'm recording this, so I can probably splice it and go back.
Yeah.
Because I don't want to record it in another environment. Yeah. Like if I take it back, then it's going to sound different. So I want to make sure.
Let me do whatever.
You know what I mean? But what did I say leading into it?
I thought that's what you said, based off of the lyrics of Big Daddy Kane. I thought that's how you brought it. You start talking about the Smalls when you have Gio Brazzan.
Based on the lyrics of Biggie Smalls.
and then you said it very clear. You said Big Daddy Kane, and so it wasn't like Big Daddy. Big
how did
Smalls.
I mess that up? I fucked up. And you guys just looked at me like a zero. Straight up. Y'all looked at me like.
Well,
yeah.
What?
I can't remember.
Y'all motherfuckers looked at me like.
Sure. Do you know what you just said?
Y'all motherfuckers looked at me like, God damn, motherfucker. Miriam looked at me. She looked at me like cock. Like her neck was to the side. Straight up. Like, damn, motherfucker, you can't get this shit right.
That's about right.
And then you just looked at me. Yeah. Like, you know,
I'm glad it's not my show.
You ever seen the
movie? I'm glad the show's called American Riddle.
You ever seen the movie Menace to Society?
Yeah. Come on. Yeah.
You know the part with Bill Duke? You know you fucked up.
Yeah. You know you fucked up, right?
That's how
you looked at me. That's funny. You know what? You should put that in there. You should say Big Daddy Kane and have him come on. I take a clip from Menace to Society and say, you know you just fucked up, right? There you go.
That motherfucker fucked up. I mean, you know, people got to understand this shit. Trying to put this shit together. I was having a meltdown. I mean, what do you want from me, huh? What do you want?
I hear something.
Yeah, I got it. Probably the guys are here working.
Who's working?
Oh, this in here? I thought I heard
those.
No,
I heard people out there.
See something.
You know you fucked up, right?
Now you see now. You done fucked up, you know that, don't you?
There you go. Perfect.
I see what I'm saying.
I thought.
No, so you know what I'm saying? You done fucked up now. You know that, don't you? No, you done fucked up, don't you? No, don't you? No, you done fucked up.
Without the tape, they had nothing.
That's you too. But you know what?
That was me.
That was you. You know what?
Oh. I fucked up.
You know what?
The late, great Big Daddy Kane.
Based on the lyrics of Big Daddy Kane, and you got all high up and you got ready, and then you went down.
Yeah, I went down.
You were like, Big Daddy Kane, and then you stopped and went down. Oh.
Fucked up, man.
Got up on the mic and went back down on the mic.
Nigga get money, nigga get bad. Roll up, blow up, run it, nigga sell a dollar, crack. You get given a nigga line, part of what you want. I get whip up, mile up, ride it, wheel it, jump up, don't hold up. 50,000 on your watch, young nigga splurge. Pop a ace spade, bought a sip of out of serve. Keep a young nigga working at a bus of K. I'ma take a phone call, hustle every day. What? Like a bunch of narcotics. Pull up in that new Rari. Living like John Gotti. Chopping bricks like karate. Drink a bunch of codeine. Serving to the dope fiends. Blowing money, stay clean. Michael Jackson, Billie Jean. Whipping up a cake just to go and snatch a spider. Spider, young nigga play with keys like a typewriter. Yeah, Al Capone, John got it, was a nigga item. Hard, I would never snitching, knocking, put it on a bottle. I promise, in a photo, Beamer driving with a rifle. Nigga, where you at? Nigga, we gon' pull up on you right now. Y'all bitch looking like Janet in the 80s. We were grinding from a two and a baby.